Welcome to Hope's Garden and the Bridegroom Speaks podcast with Laura Ercolino.
Let me first read you the passage from the song so we know what we're talking about here. Okay, so remember, we're looking at John of Ford's, some excerpts from his sermons on the bride's speech, verses 5:10 to 5:16, where she's describing the bridegroom. Okay, so I'm going to start with that. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. The chorus. What makes your beloved better than other lovers, O loveliest of women? What makes your beloved better than other lovers to give us a charge like this? The bride. My beloved is fresh and ruddy to be known among 10,000. His head is golden, purest gold. His locks are palm fronds and black as the raven. His eyes are doves at a pool of water, bathed in milk, at rest on a pool. His cheeks are beds of spices, banks sweetly scented. His lips are lilies, distilling pure myrrh. His hands are golden, rounded, set with jewels of Tarshish. His belly, a block of ivory, covered with sapphires. His legs are alabaster columns set in sockets of pure gold. His appearance is that of Lebanon, unrivaled as the cedars. His conversation is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovable. Such is my beloved. Such is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. And from John of Ford, I know well who it was who said, I am he who speaks justice. It is he who is supremely the defender of our salvation. But only of the Son of the Father has it been written, he will speak peace to his peoples. Oh, if only I too could hear what my Lord God speaks within me. With beautiful precision, the bride expresses the unique glory of her spouse, saying, his lips distill the purest myrrh. It is as if she were to say, no one has spoken like this man. For my beloved speaks not only in human language, but as the only son who is in the bosom of the Father. From his divine lips, he distills the mysteries of God into the ear of the heart. He speaks of ineffable things and in an ineffable manner. He speaks of what he has heard from his Father and in the manner he has learnt from his Father. What person is fit even to think of these things? The lips of the beloved seem to the bride to signify the unique power and glory of his inner breathing within us, the distilling of his gentleness and the wisdom of his breathing. The finest myrrh of anointing is the excellence and power of the gift he has breathed upon us. For he alone is glorious and powerful, who can turn the mind of man with the utmost speed and ease in whatever direction he chooses. He alone is gentle and wise, and knows how to do this with calm unction and wise discretion. He alone is good and humble, who graciously shares his own spirit with his little ones. To him be honor, glory, power, and majesty forever and ever. Amen. I have to stop there for a second because my mind is just racing with verses from the song that just fit so perfectly into what John of Ford is saying. Even in just in what we just read, as I was reading the lines, his lips are lilies distilling pure myrrh. It ran through my head again that his words just drip with everything that is good. They distill honey. They distill myrrh. They distill wisdom and truth, like his words, what comes from his mouth. And then I was thinking about how, you know, he tells the bride then that honey and milk are under your tongue, right? And her lips are like lilies. And it's only because she allows him to kiss her with his lips, the kisses of his mouth, with his words, that she is receiving from him these words of life, these words of truth. And she is savoring them and holding them within her. And so then her lips too can have honey and milk on them and can drip with this myrrh. And when we think of, again, about this double meaning of myrrh, that it is not only a symbolic of the ointment that would prepare a body for burial, for death, but it is a pain reliever, that it was used to comfort those who were suffering. And so not only does the bridegroom call us to be like him in all ways, including his suffering, but also including his rising, but that he himself then will be our comfort. The pure myrrh that his lips distill, his words, his kisses are what will comfort us, so that pain that we experience in this life no longer has to be suffering. It can be union with him. And if we're in union with him, can we truly suffer? We might experience pain, but is it suffering anymore? And then, of course, the bride ends this speech that we just read this morning by saying, his conversation is sweetness itself. Your name is an oil poured out, and that is why the maidens love you. Just your name, just repeating your name with reverence and love and awe, anoints my spirit, soothes my heart, calms my mind. You are altogether lovable. And just to hear a word from you, just to hear your mouth utter anything to me, brings me delight and comfort, is my longing, is a healing balm, is sweetness. And so again, we just keep coming back to, where do we meet the bridegroom? Where does he give us all that we need? In prayer, in conversation with him. And like Teresa of Avila teaches us, prayer is nothing more than intimate conversation with the one who we know loves us. Whatever form that conversation takes, right? We talk about this many times. None of us here have been called to be nuns in a convent, to spend our days in contemplative prayer. But our prayer can be just in the midst of our daily work, just in the midst of what we're doing, that we find him often most present in those things that become up unexpected, the things that we think are ruining our plan for the day. If instead of thinking it's ruining our plan, if we could shift our perspective on it and say, Jesus, I know you're in the midst of this, whatever this crisis is, whatever this annoyance is, whatever this is that seems to be an obstacle to what I thought I needed to do today. No, if it's happening, it's your will. So you are here in the midst of this. I turn this to prayer. I look for you in this. I listen for you. I want to hear your words. Your conversation is sweetness itself, and you will speak to me in every event of my day, even the unexpected ones, especially the unexpected ones. How unexpected it was for Mary Magdalene to find him appearing like the gardener on Easter Sunday. And all she had to do was be still for a moment and hear him call her name. And then she could recognize him in that unexpected event. Reading this is reminding me very much of Psalm 45. So I want to take a minute and just read part of that. It has a lot of similarities to the song, but this part in particular about his being anointed, I want to read that part. Psalm 45. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready scribe. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips are anointed with grace. since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your side, O mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let your right hand display awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From palaces adorned with ivory, the music of the strings makes you glad. Daughters of the kings are among your honored women. At your right hand is the royal bride in gold of Ophir. Another beautiful psalm to take to prayer in moments of just wanting to contemplate his beauty and his majesty and praise, sing praises to him. This speech from the bride, 510 through 516, and Psalm 45 are two of my favorites for just praising him and contemplating his beauty. Dear Jesus, our risen bridegroom, we just thank you. We thank you for this anointing that you share with us. We thank you for kissing us with the kisses of your mouth that share with us the purest myrrh, the sweetest honey, the breath of your life-giving spirit. We thank you for the honor of being your brides, Lord. We thank you for being your little ones. We ask you for the grace to remain little at your side, to touch the hem of your garment where your anointing drips and is shared with us. And we ask for the grace and the gift of sharing all that we receive from you with one another and with all those whom you send into our lives, that we may in some small way participate with you in the restoration of your bride, the church. We thank you for the gift of dove eyes, for opening the ears of our hearts to be able to hear and understand and join in the singing of your song. You rescued us from the pit, Lord, and you set our feet upon the rock, upon your very self. And you have given us a new song to sing. May we sing your song with the breath of the Holy Spirit within us, loud and clear for all to hear. May all come to know you and fall in love with you, the bridegroom of our souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
For more resources and our consecration to Christ the Bridegroom, visit hopesgarden.com, the sanctuary where the spousal love of Christ the Bridegroom heals hearts, marriages, and families. You may also want to join our community powered by Mighty Networks. Download the Mighty Networks app and find us at Hope's Garden.